We're back once again.
Here we go.
It's episode 26.
Is it?
Yeah, man. It's a lot of episodes, man. We're almost to 30, Chris. We're going to be at 30 pretty soon.
We're doing a little work.
So it's a little pocket awareness. It's Marcus and Chris. Chris and Marcus, however you want to say it. We're back. New episode. You know, we're having a little breaks here and there, but you know, it's the off season. We're relaxing.
Yeah, no, you got to make sure there's something to talk about.
Exactly.
Now we got something to talk about.
Well, we got plenty to talk about.
Now we got there's some news.
News. So we got a lot on the plate today. We got Russell Wilson's new contract. Mm-hmm. He didn't cash in. Didn't really play to his leverage that I thought he should have. But you know, we'll talk about that. Yeah. You got Aaron Rodgers. People think he's an asshole. Or is McCarthy just lazy? We'll discuss that. Because he does like to get massages or something like that. Or you know. After that, we got my locked in top five quarterbacks. And we'll go through and we'll discuss quarterbacks, discuss what I like, what I don't like. Then Chris will tell me if I'm dumb or not. how dumb my decisions are.
You'll know right away. You'll know. I won't have to really say much. I think you'll say something. You'll check yourself.
Yeah, I agree. So check us out. Check this out, this whole episode. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. Download on Spotify. Do it now. If you're listening, go do it. Right now,
because
you might as well just do it. We need some reviews too, guys. Come on, this is messed up. We need a review. All right.
If you don't like us, you can let us know.
Yeah, no, yeah. You know, I need to rise up. I need to rise up here. You know what I'm saying? I need to be up there with with these other podcasts. So I think we're pretty good. I actually think we're pretty entertaining. I've heard some other ones. They're a little boring. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean,
we got a little bit of first take excitement with actually good analysis, you know, instead of just sound like a boring.
We're not saying stuff to just say
X's and O's.
We're gonna give you the real deal.
Yeah, we're gonna give you the real deal over here. You know, so make sure you hit that subscribe button. All right. So, Russell Wilson got paid.
Yes, he did.
Made a funny video where he tried to put his hood voice on. While he was laying in the bed with his gold chains. Russell, that's a fun dude, man. Russell, take off the damn gold chains. You ain't got a gold chain. So Russell Wilson got paid 4 years, $140 million. Making that bank, all types of bank that he has made. He deserves it to me. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I say he's top five quarterback. I can't name.
Wow.
I can't name four of the quarterbacks that I take over Russell Wilson. I mean, I can name four others, but I would struggle after three.
No.
I would struggle after three at this point. I just think this year proved everything. All his skeptics, everybody thought they're going to. There's people saying they're going to be the pick number one. There's people saying they're going to be all this type of whatever. And they made the playoffs. You know, they're a wild card team.
They still were Seattle, and they won some games they had no business winning. And that's just the way that it is for the Seahawks. They always get these stupid little wins that they have no – it's infuriating to me.
Frank Clark is upset because he just tweeted this. This is breaking news here.
Right off.
Tweeted at 6:16, they lied to me. Ooh. That's some breaking news for you people. A little pocket awareness. Frank Clark's not happy. Send him to the Raiders. But go ahead. Give him a little fourth round pick. That's all you want. We got that. Let's give him a fourth. All right. So Russell Wilson, trying to get the exact numbers. He's getting a $65 million signing bonus.
He got paid.
Wow. He's supposed to make $88 million over the first 2 years.
And he screwed the Seahawks hard.
I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about quarterbacks and big contracts. Does that really screw the team? I don't know. I can see how it could, because if you had a really, really great edge rusher or something like that, you have to pay an edge rusher quarterback money these days. I get that. But let's just say, right, you got Matt Ryan, right? They already paid Julio. I mean, they got Calvin Ridley on a rookie contract. They still got Mohamed Sanu on contract. They still got the lineman on contract. You know, so, I mean, they lost Tevin Coleman, but they still got Freeman.
They lost Coleman.
They couldn't pay Coleman.
Defense is not that. If the defense is ever injured like they were this last year, it doesn't matter how much firepower the offense has.
But it's not all on Matt Ryan. I mean, they can still draft well and still build around those guys. Right, and they still got Julio.
That's a big ask. That's a big ask to have a rookie come in and immediately have an impact. I mean, you barely get three of those guys across the NFL in one season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's too big of an ask.
I mean, the Cowboys found a way. I mean, they paid Lawrence and they got to pay Dak, and they're going to pay Dak $30 million.
They don't have to pay Dak nothing.
They are going to pay Dak $30 million. I hope you know, it's going to be like a 7-year, $210 million contract with, like,
that is ridiculous.
With only the first 3 years guaranteed.
I can't even.
It's going to be big like that. It's going to be like that. 7 years.
I think you're right.
It's going to be big.
It makes me, as a fan of a different team in the NFC, very comfortable if they want to do something like that. You want to talk?
They got
about
a lot of pieces. The Cowboys got a lot of young pieces, though. The thing is, they're not going to be able to sign those defensive guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't, if you're going to give a guy a contract like that.
Like Jalen Smith.
You're not going to be able to sign the big pieces that you need to keep.
It's what pieces can you lose, though? Because you can lose Jalen. You still got LVE on a contract, so you can lose him. For now. But that's what I'm saying. They have to be in win-now mode. Then they got to pay Amari. Then they got to pay Zeke.
I'm just saying. You give a guy a contract like that.
And I bet Zeke walks. I bet the one that's going to walk, who's not going to get the contract that he wants, is really not going to get paid how he wants to pay. And they're going to go with Amari.
Yeah.
Because the way the NFL's going.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Zeke's going to walk, but he's not going to be happy. He's going to be franchised a couple times. He'll be like Le'Veon Bell. I mean, unless the CBA changes by that point, which is possible.
Sure.
But he's up to get paid, what? No, because this is his fourth year. So they still have the option.
Mm-hmm. They'll take the option.
And then they still have another year decided they want to pay him. Amari, they got to pay this year, so they got to make a decision. I think they're going to wait for Amari, see how he plays, full 16 games, see if he actually deserves big wide receiver money, or he just puts up another 1,100-yard season. They're gonna try to test that out and see what goes on with that. But Dak's next up. He is. He's the next big payday guy.
When it comes down to what's happening in Seattle, you are basically saying you're restarting on the defensive side of the ball. Full restart. But you already have a full restart that's needed for the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you get those wins that you have no business winning, you're in trouble.
See, I mean, they're going to re-sign Bobby Wagner.
Well, I mean, so you re-sign Bobby Wagner, but who else you got on that defense? Frank Clark's gone.
I mean, Puna Ford's good. Puna Ford, he's good. I mean, Shaquille Griffin, he's pretty decent corner.
They got
good players back there. They ain't got the Legion of Boom, but they're good enough. They're to pay Russell. They need to start drafting some studs. Yeah,
they got
to
give him somebody to throw the ball to.
They
got to
give him some kind of stud. Like,
they got to give him what they need to do is draft offensive line to protect him. You don't pay a guy like that, and then
that's true too. But I mean, they need to take a reach on a Hakeem Butler.
They need
Butler.
A lot on the offensive side of the ball.
Why not draft a Hakeem Butler? Or somebody like that is a big target for Russell, who can get open, because especially if they can get deep and he's mixed in with Tyler Lockett, which they got to pay too. But Tyler Lockett is like an $8 million guy, so they could probably get away with paying him like $8 to $10 million, something like that. They could do that.
All I know is, just from looking at the cap for what happens next year in 2020, with this new contract, they currently are not fielding a 53-man roster with next year's salary cap.
I think they could, man.
Well, no. Like, the salary cap should go up, though. On the books right now,
yeah.
They don't have 53 men next season.
So you're saying they got to add players, but that's
they're
going to
add players.
Draft.
Yeah, they're going to add players,
and then you just get some good free agents. But they gotta draft a good offense. That's what they need to do.
It's one or the other. Like, you're either gonna draft or you're gonna pay free agents.
They gotta draft
a
good offense.
They cannot afford to do both.
They gotta draft a good offense. I think they should take a receiver. I mean, they got Rashad Penny. I mean, everybody said they reached on him, which they did, but he didn't look that bad this year. He looks like if he actually got some more totes.
Yeah, but they don't have an offensive line to run behind.
The offensive line, it was better this year. It was better. Tom Cable's gone. You know? So,
they played better. Severe doubts. And there were, by minimum, three games that they won that they should never have won.
That's what I'm saying, but they got Russell. So
in classic Seahawk form.
They're riding Russell.
Well, yeah. That's what they decided.
So they should
decided.
Build around them.
Give him some weapons.
They're
not going to give Frank Clark the money. They gave Russell the money.
Stop trying to make David Moore good. No, David Moore is not good. Get him some talent.
I agree with you.
He needs talent, man. He's throwing a ball to David Moore.
I completely agree with you. He's got no help. 100% agree. That's why I just have less and less faith in Seattle.
They got to draft some wide receivers. They got to take like two. I think they got to take like two this year.
Do they even have a first-round pick?
Yeah, 21.
I couldn't remember.
A lot of people were to have them taking a defensive end. I mean, they could really go anywhere. They could take a client.
They need help everywhere. It's best player
they could
on the board.
Take Farrell.
It's the best player on the board at that point.
Yeah.
You take whoever's the best player on the board.
I still think they should take a receiver. I think he needs because who knows? DK Metcalf might fall.
Yeah, but you're going to have the same – like him and Lockett run the same routes. You can't take a Metcalf.
I mean, well, he throws a great deep ball.
That's
though.
Not a possession receiver. What are you going to do? You have two guys that go deep?
He has Doug Baldwin still.
For what? Another? Well,
no, he's got Doug Baldwin for at least another 2 years. So, I mean, because Doug Baldwin ain't a big money receiver. He's just that slot guy. He's a small little slot guy. You know, get open. That's his possession guy. He still got Doug. This Doug is just getting hurt. That's his problem. Mm-hmm. But he still got Doug there. He needs a dominant receiver. And I really don't know if there's a dominant receiver in this draft. Mm-hmm. But I would say like a Harrier or Hakeem Butler would fit with all three of those guys.
Sure.
So he has somebody he could throw it up to, went on the outside, and then have the slot guy inside and have the deep threat, which is Tyler Lockett, and he'll be able to make some passing. But
if he's got time.
Which he won't, and that's why they ran the ball like 60% of the time. But
which was, they started.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why they might go line, but I think they still got to draft a receiver. They got to get somebody.
Agree.
They got to get somebody to help out with Russell. But he got paid big time. I think he deserves it. Like I said,
he does. I thought he was finagling his way out of there. I really did.
You thought he was gonna try to wiggle his way out of there?
Well, that's why he did it. That's exactly why he did it.
Yeah, it's true. He gave him a deadline. Said if we don't get it by,
and he didn't give him a lot of time to figure it out.
He's like, figure it out.
Yeah,
you want me? You'll figure it out.
Yep, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I'll ride that franchise tag. I'm good. I haven't missed a game yet.
He would have gotten it for 2 years.
Yeah, but the second year was like $36 million. So
yeah, that's still money.
I think the third year was 52.
54. It was 54. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to play that game. They're like, okay, all right. We'll just give you some money.
Yeah,
we'll pay you.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, I can't believe he really tweeted that. He must be like about to get traded. Trade like seriously.
Well, I mean, I believe that they told him like
just don't send him to the Chiefs, man.
They tagged him.
Don't trade him to the Chiefs, bro.
I mean, he's going to go to the AFC. There's no way they let Clark play in the NFC. You don't need him coming after. He already doesn't like Russell. Nobody on the defensive side of the ball likes Russell, except the new kids.
See, yeah, there's all type of speculation now. Who's taking Clark? Yeah. Raiders taking a draft and using a first-round pick for Clark. That's crazy.
Yeah, no.
That's nuts. He's not that good. He had one good year.
No.
No way.
And he's old.
He's not that old. He's not old at all. He's like 26, bro.
Is he?
Yeah.
Why do I think he was like 31?
He's like 26.
Oh, well, take it back.
He has a reason why he fell, because he's a first round pick, but the reason why he fell, he like beat the hell out of his girlfriend like really bad.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a new thing.
Everybody's doing
it.
Everybody's doing it.
Happens every year. Shoot. These guys can't keep their hands off their women.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little ridiculous.
It's getting crazy out here. It's getting crazy out here.
A little ridiculous.
Yeah. This is your boy Aaron Rodgers, man. What's up with that?
A little bit of drama there.
what's up with your boy, bro? What's going on?
I think I think there's some truth. Okay. Because you don't get all, there's not that much that comes out, and there's not a little bit of truth behind it.
Oh, 100%.
I think there's some truth behind it.
So what we're talking about is the Bleacher Report article that came out by Ty Dunn. He wrote a very detailed.
Scathing.
Scathing. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Detailed, scathing article.
On both of them. On McCarthy and Rogers.
That he said he was writing since December. So he did a lot of research on that. And it basically came away that Mike McCarthy liked massages and would just let his coaches coach, and he would just go do whatever he wanted. And Aaron Rodgers used to change plays in the huddle, and he hated Jeff Janis. I don't know what Jeff Janis – we still got to figure out what Jeff Janis did to Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what he did, but there's something going on there.
I'll tell you what it is.
What was it?
I'll tell you what it is. Janis missed a lot of reads, was not on the same page as Rodgers.
Yeah, okay.
And that pissed Rodgers off.
I bet it did.
And it didn't just piss Rodgers off, it pissed McCarthy off. So he ended up in the doghouse. There's only one route. If you watch Jeff Janis, there's only one route that he ran when he came to the game. He ran goes.
That's true.
That's all he did.
See, everybody talks about how he didn't like even give him praise when he caught the two Hail Marys. he hated him so much. Yeah, so that guy caught those. You know, I threw it up to him, though, so it doesn't matter what he did.
Yeah. I mean, the guy just ran goes, and I don't think that he was able to. I mean, when it comes to being an NFL player, you're going to be successful if you're not only talented, but you can pick it up on a cognitive level.
Yeah.
That's where you're successful in the NFL, because everybody's just as talented as you are.
That's true.
You know, there's no, like college football, you can get away with just being talented. You don't have to be smart and talented. You can just be talented.
Yep.
You can't do that in the NFL.
No, you cannot.
And if you're going to be successful, not only do you have to have the cognitive piece to it, then you have to adjust to when they adjust to you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three levels here to being successful in the NFL.
100%.
I think Janis is incredibly talented, and that was it. He couldn't get past that.
Yes. So he got rid of Jeff Janis, was in his doghouse. Hopefully St. Brown is getting his doghouse after that corner.
Well, he had all the rookies.
Yeah.
I think just because he expected a lot out of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get that. And I don't think there's anything wrong for having high expectations.
100%. I agree with that, man. I just think that dialogue with him and McCarthy, and I think it's a lot of it's on Ted Thompson too. Ted Thompson.
Oh, this is 100% on Ted Thompson.
Because he should have saw that a long time ago.
The butting of the heads between your quarterback and your head coach. The GM's the one that's supposed to step in and tell them, knock it off. Let's get this together. And I think the biggest thing that you can take out of it for the McCarthy side of it is he didn't hold anybody accountable.
That's 100% true.
I think that's where they got the article right.
Because to me, it's like they kept winning. So I think this year when they started losing, actually finally came to fruition how bad this relationship really was.
Sure.
It was covered by winning. I mean, they were what? They almost won the Super Bowl in 14.
I mean, three times they were in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Since 2010 when they won it. So, like, if you look at the history of what they've done in their time together, like, any NFL team would take that.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. But that's not acceptable in Green Bay.
So when they started losing, it came to fruition, and here we are with these crazy articles coming out, and they're finally all boiling over. McCarthy's out. Now he's out of job. I saw somebody on Twitter make fun of him because he got the job after leading the 49ers to like the worst offense in the league, and then he got hired as a head coach. That didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, he statistically, and I talked about this when they hired LaFleur.
Yeah.
McCarthy, when he spent his last year in San Francisco as the offensive coordinator, the offense was statistically the 30th best offense in the NFL. LaFleur comes in his last season as the OC. They were 29. So, I mean, you come in and you get Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have a bump immediately. And if you get Aaron Rodgers to buy in, well, he had Brett Favre right away.
Yeah, Brett Favre.
He had Brett Favre
He did go to Alex Smith,
but like, Brett Favre. You go from the Niners franchise, which is at that point in time was
garbage.
Even more of a hot mess than it is now.
Like, yeah.
Now you can finally say that the 49ers have some upside.
A little bit.
You couldn't say that before.
I think Shanahan's, he hasn't been questioned yet about his losing record. Everybody keeps making excuses.
Well, I think they cut him some slack because of Garoppolo going out.
Yeah.
And how
well he did with Garoppolo when he played in 17.
Yeah.
They're super high on Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what Garoppolo looks like, but Aaron Rodgers got some new head coach, got some new offensive coordinator. See how that works. He still got Davante Adams because Davante didn't say a damn word because he's getting that ball and he knows Devontae's going to be there. He still got beef with Greg Jennings. That's never. That's very. When is that going to go away?
It's not, especially now after this article came out.
I can't wait for Aaron Rodgers' Hall of Fame speech. I feel like we're going to get like a Michael Jordan.
Like a Michael Jordan one.
Just like just mean. He's going to thank all his haters.
I think I could see it. I mean, they said that he was still holding on to that grudge from McCarthy passing on him.
That's wild,
I could believe that.
But you figured that winning would get over that, though. Like, you guys started winning.
Well, not
together.
Only winning, but like he went with Rodgers
over Favre.
Like, you would think some things would kind of, but I could see Aaron Rodgers holding grudges and being that being something that he sticks to. I could see that. Just like I understand what they're saying with McCarthy letting the coordinators run meetings. Like, if you're developing these guys to move up to the next level, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I could see is, you know, McCarthy, it's an ego battle. It's McCarthy's team. No, it's Rodgers' team. Well, I can't let it be Rodgers' team, so Pelt, you're out. Like, you're Rodgers' boy. Like, this is my team. Like, that stuff, I would believe that that's the case for sure. The massage, I don't think.
You don't read too much in that? I don't like.
One of the players, massage girls, that all of a sudden she said this and that.
It was a little weird.
It's like you're getting a source from a source from a source. Like, you know, you're not getting it from the horse's mouth. So
yeah, I mean, there was some crazy stuff in there.
Yeah, there was definitely some crazy stuff in there.
Some shock value.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's very shocking. The coach getting massages and then goes out there and calls plays on Sunday. That's kind of shocking.
The president of the team saying, Rodgers, don't be the problem. What?
See, I wonder if Mike McCarthy's ever going to get a job again.
He will.
You think so?
Yeah.
They're not going to Brian Billick him?
Billick got a job again.
No, he didn't.
After he left Baltimore?
He never got a job. Uh-uh. He's been on NFL Network since 08.
I thought he got one more shot after he left Baltimore.
Nuh-uh.
Maybe as an OC.
No, nope, nothing. Nothing.
I could have sworn he had one more
shot. Nothing, man. He won a Super Bowl, and he was the offensive coordinator for the 1998 Minnesota Vikings when they broke those records.
Yeah, with Culpepper and Moss.
Randall Cunningham, not Culpepper yet.
God, are we old?
Yeah, you are. That was Cunningham, bro. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's the offensive coordinator for that team, and then he never got another job. Never got another job after that.
We'll see.
So I wonder if that's going to happen.
I think he gets another.
To him.
I think you got a franchise like Cleveland, if they really lay an egg this year. Dorsey, ex-Packer guy. I thought that they were going to bring McCarthy in this year.
I think they thought about it.
A young quarterback to bring up.
But like, McCarthy was probably like, I want to run my offense. And they were like, man, we really want you to keep Kitchens.
Yeah.
We want to keep, you know, Mayfield with his offense coordinator. And he was like, no, I want to bring in my guys. And they're like, probably like, no. So we'll just do the smart thing and just hire Freddie so Mayfield stays in the offense and he gets a second year. That's what they were thinking. They were thinking all about Mayfield.
I'll agree with that.
Then that's why they didn't take him, and they kept Mr. Kitchens, which you don't know if he's a good coach or not, or he's going to handle all those personalities.
That has a lot of personality. He's got a lot of work in front of him.
They better not start losing.
I don't know how you keep Landry and Beckham under control.
I don't know. They better not start losing, man. That's all I know. That if they start like 3-4 or something, who's that talk? They're going to be the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Do that personalities mesh?
Right.
Why is Odell's catches down? You know, all that type of stuff.
Right.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild out there, man. All right. So any final thoughts on your Packers?
I say take everything with a grain of salt. That's what I say.
Take everything with a grain of salt.
With that article. Can you believe some of it? Yeah, you can believe some of it. But I don't think you can take that.
Do you feel like Jermichael Finley and Greg Jennings are viable sources?
I mean, that's pretty aggressive to throw your guy under the bus like that, especially because you heard what Roger said, right?
Yeah.
When Finley got hurt with his neck injury, Rogers was there in the hospital, like by his side.
Yeah.
Like making sure his boy's okay. Like, then you throw him under the bus like that?
That's pretty messed up.
He came and was there for you.
That's messed up.
Yeah. We haven't heard from Cobb.
Haven't heard from Cobb.
We haven't heard from Jordy.
Haven't heard from Jordy. Him and
you
Jordy
heard from
boys.
Janice. And Janice didn't throw Rogers under the bus.
What did Janice say?
He put this big tweet out. He put a tweet out with the notes section from his iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And as this paragraph, he's like, "Yeah, I was in the doghouse. I was definitely in the doghouse. But with a competitor like Aaron Rodgers, like, you screw up, you're going to be in the doghouse. Like, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, they're amazing. Like, he basically tried to squash it."
I see. Very professional, Jeff Janis there.
Yeah,
very professional.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's true. I guess the way to the same guy saying the same thing is
Finley wasn't in the doghouse.
No, he wasn't.
Janis was.
That was it.
Jennings wasn't in the doghouse, but Jennings was a Favre guy.
Finley was humongous, man. He was at the barbershop one time. Whew, that is a big dude.
Yeah. Rodgers always trying to game plan to get him the ball.
Yeah.
Like,
but he just got hurt, man. I mean,
I think maybe he's just more upset about his career going down the way it did.
Yeah, because he never was the same.
No,
so
he never played again.
That's true. Didn't somebody try to give him a shot? Like the Seahawks or something?
I can't remember.
I don't know. Maybe he was just talking about returning at the barbershop. I think that's that's what I remember. He was trying to come back from the barbershop. Because he was talking about that. Yeah, I'm coming back. I'm about to get ready. Getting ready to come back. My back's feeling good. Like, oh, okay, that's cool, man. I'm happy for you.
Good luck.
Never happened. Well. Yeah, man. So let's keep it moving to the juicy stuff, which is the draft, because it's next week. It's next Thursday.
We're a week ahead.
And I'm about to come in with my locked in top five. I might drop a top 100 this year. I made one, but I'm still revising it because a lot of things I don't like. I'm ready to go revise.
And when you're talking top five, you're just talking top five QBs?
Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
My top 10 players is locked.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I'm going to switch Josh Allen and Burns, I'm putting Josh Allen at 7 and moving Burns to 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only change. Because mm-hmm. Brian Burns does not care about the run at all. So, you know, but he might be the best pass rusher in the draft. He might be better than Bosa.
Wow.
As a pass rusher. But he just doesn't care about the run. And when he loses, he just kind of stops.
Yeah.
So that's my problem with it. Yeah. But. You know, that's not quarterbacks. Those are edge rushers. All right. So let's go ahead and get this started. So I'm going to go number five, Ryan Finley out of NC State.
Interesting.
That's my number five.
Okay.
I believe that he is a good quarterback, and he's going to just be that. That's all he's going to be. Maybe he'll never be an upper echelon starter, but I feel like that he's accurate enough in a good system that he can play and maybe become a starter in the NFL. At worst, be a backup.
Okay.
At worst.
Okay.
He can develop in a starter. I don't know about that, but he's gonna be a really good backup, good spot starter. He'll play good 8 years, maybe do that. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Tall, got a good arm, very accurate. His deep ball is a little weak. Always has been, but he anticipates well. Throws really well on the run, which I like. And he throws a great back shoulder throw, which I really like too. He throws with a lot of timing, throws with anticipation. It's just he didn't got the biggest arm in the world. So it kind of puts him down a little bit, but I still think he's going to get drafted a little higher than people think.
Okay.
He's either probably going to go like early day three is mine. I think a lot of people have him going late day three. I have him going early day three. At five. At four, I struggle with this one. But I'm going Will Grier.
Wow.
All right.
No kidding.
Yes. So I'm going Will Grier out of West Virginia. I decided this the other night. I just think Will Grier didn't have a good Senior Bowl.
Uh-uh.
He didn't have a good one at all, right? And I think that kind of ruined everything for him as a quarterback prospect, right?
Absolutely.
But the tape, I mean, he's still accurate. He has a great deep ball. He played well for the past two seasons. He's got a good arm. He's accurate with the football at all levels. He's got pretty decent pocket presence. I mean, he could definitely be better with that. I mean, he did play in that one read air raid system, but even in some air raid systems, he's still able to go through different reads with, you know, as he progressed and got deeper into it. Did play with some good wide receivers too, so you got to put that in there. They're both those guys going to get drafted, but ain't like they're like day two guys. Right. They're both day three guys. So, yeah, they're NFL players, but who knows if they're going to be good NFL players at all. David Stills, he's got some potential, but
sure,
who knows? Who knows if he's going to be good? But I like Will. You got to remember that he was recruited to Florida too. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't mess up, he had Florida looking good before he was. They were like 7-1 before he ended up getting caught for steroids. I think right was it? Was it PEDs? Was it?
I think you're right.
Yeah, he got kicked out for getting PEDs, and they're 7-1 with him. So I really feel like if he stayed at Florida and did SEC football, that we'd be talking about him in the top 10. But since he's like the Big 12 quarterback and he's not Kyler Murray, he's
very interesting.
Kind of lower than he should be. I really think he's a fringe. To me, I think he's a fringe first round, early day three quarterback. I really do.
Well, I mean, I felt very high on him through the season. And once we started to break him down after the Senior Bowl, and with just how poor that was, we stopped talking about him, period.
His Senior Bowl was pretty bad.
We stopped talking about him completely. Like, see, I was severely disappointed when you came back and you said Greer had a bad showing.
Exactly. And that's, see, he played better in the game than he did in practice. So maybe he was just, I don't know. Maybe he was nervous. Maybe he wasn't picking up the offense that quick. I don't know. So then that's kind of a cause of concern. He's having trouble picking up the offense.
Well, I think as a rookie, that, I wouldn't even have that as a concern. If he's still struggling year two and three, yeah, that's a different story.
See, but that's what I'm saying. I think he has a chance to get drafted by a team because he might not go where I think he should go. So he might fall to day three too. And he goes on a team that maybe he sits a year.
Sure.
And then he keeps playing well in the preseason. And next thing you know, he's a starter.
Sure.
And I think he's that type of player.
Sure.
So I really like Will Greer. I think he's going to be a good player. Who's next? What we got? Number three. The first three, everybody knows who they're going to be. So, but it's just my order, right?
Yeah.
Number three is Drew Lock.
Uh-huh.
I like Drew a lot. I think he this year he definitely went through more reads, played a better offense that was fit for him. He had good wide receivers, good offensive line. But he still plays pretty well against pressure. Stayed accurate against pressure. Shows pretty good pocket movement. He has a lot of athleticism. Rocket arm. Very strong arm. Really good deep ball. Throws an accurate deep ball. He's very on point with his deep ball most of the time. My main issue with Drew Lock, though, is competition.
Uh-huh.
So he played in the SEC, right? And he puts up all these big, everybody talks about most touchdown passes in SEC history in a season, blah, 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 blah. But if you go look at his stats, it's like he threw 20 touchdowns that year against like Memphis.
Yeah.
And like SMU, uh-huh, and whatever. And same way this year, too. If you go look at him against really good competition against the good SEC teams, he's not good. Like 53% completion percentage, low YPA, whatever. Not a really high touchdown interception ratio. He just didn't play well against better competition. And his team around him is not bad. Emmanuel Hall is going to get drafted day three. His tight end is going to get drafted. His line was pretty good. They did pretty good against Alabama with the pass rush. And it's Alabama, and he still had some plays where he had a lot of time to make some plays and to make some throws. But he, like I'm saying, he struggled that game. Do some bad balls, do some ugly balls. But he has upside, and he has a great personality. He's a good leader. There's a lot of things to like about him from an intangible point of view. Had a great Senior Bowl, did great interviews. He's a great interview guy anyways. Has great, a lot of personality, a lot of swagger, a lot of confidence. So he brings a lot, and he got better every year. He got better going through his reads this year. Like his junior tape, I was like, who the hell is this guy? But his senior tape is a whole lot better. Figured out better offense. He learned that offense really quick. He seemed like he knew the offense. Wherever his checkdowns were, knew where to go, knows where to go with the football. So I really like Drew Lock. I think he'll definitely be a first-round pick. I think he even might go before who's my number two guy, which I still think is a little crazy. But I think some teams really like Drew Lock a lot. And I think he might go before my number two guy, which is Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. No, but what do you think about Lock at three? What do you think about that before I keep moving?
I would agree that Lock was at three.
Okay.
I totally agree that Lock is at three. You know I'm not impressed with either Kyler or Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree that Lock is probably the more consistent with what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I think that with who you're going to have as two and one, these are boom and bust guy, boom or bust guys. There's no in between for these next two guys. It's either they're all in or they're gone. Like there's no in between for these next two.
Okay.
I hope that Haskins can develop some consistency in the and at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Because obviously he had it at Ohio State, but there were too many red flags for me.
Okay.
I don't have as many red flags with Locke. We talked about his pro day, and they were just making him make throws that just didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that I don't like him, but I don't like his process doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's my thing with Locke too. And like I said, it's competition. He's supposed to be this great SEC quarterback, but he sucked against the SEC teams. It's like, okay,
right?
That's weird. I mean, he never threw over 50% until this year, and he threw, like I said, really low against SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
And just on tape, he looks a lot better. Plays a lot better than he did in his junior year. He's a senior quarterback, so I feel like he's mature.
Yes.
And that's why I think that he might get picked before Haskins.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think because of the time that he spent at the college level, you know, that's a little bit more of that consistent nature to him that makes people feel more comfortable.
Okay. All right. Before I get to the top two, let me just I know what you're thinking if you're listening, that where's Daniel Jones?
You had me when you went to four and you didn't say his name.
Where's Daniel Jones, Marcus? I know what you're thinking. I know. Where's Daniel Jones? So for me, I just don't think Jones is a good quarterback. I don't know how else to say it. I think he looks like one. He probably talks like one. When you watch him, he stands tall. His mechanics are great. Everything about it says, oh my God, this guy is probably a great prospect. And I'm sure there's a lot of NFL teams like thinking, man, this is a great guy. He's coached by David Cutcliffe. He's got some Manning ties. Manning's really don't like him. He's 6'5". He runs a 4.67, 225. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know what? And he's a smart guy.
Uh-huh.
I can do a lot with this. Uh-huh. So I can see why NFL teams like him.
Uh-huh.
And I can kind of see how, you know, I watched the game against Clemson. I could see from the first drive, you could see, okay, dude did a full field read, everything, right?
Uh-huh.
A lot of things to like from that aspect. But he just doesn't have it enough for me to put him over like Ryan Finley. Ryan Finley played way better than him in college altogether. And, yeah, Ryan Finley probably had, like, four of his linemen get drafted. I get that. And then his guards get drafted. And then Will Richardson got drafted last year. And then Kevin Harmon's probably going to be drafted day two. And then, you know, he has a lot of – he probably had a lot around him, and sure. Daniel Jones didn't. And that's the only thing that probably NFL teams are convincing themselves with Daniel Jones.
He didn't have
anybody around him, right?
Uh-huh.
Nobody's getting drafted. And he knows the Mannings. I think that's the biggest thing about him, too.
Oh, I completely agree.
He knows the Mannings.
It's the McVay thing all over again. It's just this time it's...
But, you know, a lot of the things was, like, he didn't recognize a lot of blitzes against Clemson. I know I was talking to you about this, Chris, but some of the blitzes were nuts, and I wouldn't have recognized them or anybody on the earth. But, you know, a lot of them he should have recognized.
Sure.
Or should have saw them coming,
sure.
And he didn't. He panics when he's under pressure. Like, he's a panicker. He's just gonna throw the ball up in the air.
Uh-huh.
Throw it up for grabs.
Uh-huh.
Just throw it up for grabs.
Yeah,
the play against Virginia, like, he had two high safeties and he still threw the post with the corner underneath and the safety above the wide receiver over the top. I'm like, that's a pick, Daniel.
Yeah.
There's no way you look at it, right? And there's a lot of plays like that. And he did play in a crappy offense, too. So it's a lot of things that I can see why the NFL thinks that he can has high potential.
Sure.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. Okay. I never have. I don't think he's that accurate either. I don't think he's accurate enough to play NFL quarterback and be successful. But I will laugh if he goes six.
Yeah, I'd
what if he goes six, Chrissy?
Marcus, I don't think that there's a quarterback in this draft that should be that should go before 15.
See, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. And we'll get into that. But I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
There's too much talent at other positions.
I agree with that, except
that
for
there's no reason for a quarterback to go higher than 15.
Okay. So I'll give you – so I only have one quarterback. I have two quarterbacks in my top 25 players. One is at 17, which is Haskins. So I agree with you that there's not two top quarterbacks that should go top 15.
Okay.
So I got Haskins as my 17th player on my draft board. But I think that with Haskins, Haskins does a lot of great things. Right? He anticipates really, really well.
Uh-huh.
He anticipates probably better than most quarterbacks you'll see coming out.
Uh-huh.
I thought he got better as the year went along.
Okay.
So that tells me that he's a worker. He understands his own tendencies. Probably does a lot of self-reflecting. Got better as the year went along. Mm-hmm. Got better against tougher competition. Threw better passes. Anticipated more. Got to learn the offense a lot better. He's very good with protections. Now, his linemen didn't always listen to him. But he was good with protections. He was good at baiting people to get blitzes and then change your protection, sliding the line so he had more time to get rid of the ball and make throws. And I remember it was one play against Michigan State. He got Michigan State to show they were doing a corner blitz from the nickel. And he adjusts the line, right?
Uh-huh.
Tells the lineman, here he comes. He points to him, adjusts him.
Yeah, yeah.
The guard still lets the corner get a free release. I'm thinking, like, that's got to be frustrating as a quarterback.
Oh, it is. It's incredibly frustrating.
That's got to be frustrating.
In fact, when you call something out and you know it's coming and the other guy doesn't do what he's supposed to, yeah.
That's got to be frustrating. That's what I was thinking when he did it.
That's one of those the longest yard moments when you throw the ball at them and make them like fix themselves. Like
that is
get it together.
So he does a lot of good things like that. And this is his first year as a starter too. So you got to think about that when you're watching him and he's changing things at the line and he's adjusting and he's seeing blitzes. And mm-hmm. He does a lot of – he's pretty good at pre-snap reads and things like that. My thing with Haskins is the offense that he ran. Well, it's just not designed as like an NFL offense. You don't see a lot of NFL throws from Haskins.
Agreed.
So, but when you do see NFL throws, they look really good, and he anticipates with them. And he lets the ball go early in a couple comebacks. He lets the ball early in a couple out routes that he allowed. My favorite throw of his was against Michigan State. He had like a 15-yard out, and he had pressure coming. He threw that ball super early, and he threw it right on the money. So he knew exactly where to go with the football based on the leverage of the quarterback and on the wide receiver and the cornerback. So there's a lot of things like that that you have to really like about Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with Haskins, my big thing with him, which is the weirdest thing, and this is going to be you're going to like this comment, Chris. So at home, when you watch Haskins at home,
you're reading my mind. I know exactly where you're going.
When you watch Haskins at home at a home game, that dude's top 10 all day. There's no way around it. He's a top 10 quarterback.
God, you stole all day. My thunder.
Top 10 quarterback all day at home. His games against like you watch him against Michigan, it's great. Watch him against Minnesota. He's throwing deep balls everywhere. He's just nailing people everywhere. That a neutral site too. If he's at like his game against TCU.
No, see, I won't give you.
You didn't even like the Washington game.
I will not give you neutral site.
You didn't like the Washington game. I thought he played pretty well against Washington. We disagree with that. You didn't think he played. I know you saw some of his accurate throws, and we'll get to that. He's not the most accurate quarterback.
No.
I agree with that. He's not. At home though, he really is. So which is weird. So, but on the road, man, he's like a third-round quarterback.
Agreed. I couldn't
On the road, man, he's just totally different quarterback.
I couldn't agree with you more.
He, like, panics under pressure a little bit. His feet get out of control. He doesn't have good feet. I mean, he doesn't have the best feet in the world anyways.
No,
he definitely has to work on that.
Yes.
I think he could be coached up on that, though.
Well, yeah, we'll see if he takes the coaching.
My
problem with him is his feet.
Yeah.
I don't like his feet.
Uh-huh.
And when the ball leaves his hand.
Okay.
He does not throw. He is not an accurate passer. If that ball's got to be on the outside shoulder, it's not.
He's not a good deep thrower.
He's not. He doesn't put the ball. Well, even inside, like I told you, I didn't like his pro day, not even in the slightest. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things that he was doing that just irritated me. And I think it translated on the field as well. That Washington game, God, did he miss a lot of throws? He missed a lot of throws.
He does miss throws. He's always going to miss throws.
I'll agree with you that his reading of the and his anticipation, he was there moving people so that he had time in the pocket. Absolutely. When the ball came out of his hand, it's like, what are you doing?
See, that's you know, that's where I think my comp for him is Donovan McNabb. But I know McNabb's a little bit more athletic, but I think as a passer. So I'm just like
more. Oh, I would say McNabb was more accurate.
See, I never thought McNabb was accurate. There's always McNabb always had that huge miss. Just like when they were playing the Cardinals and it was overtime and he had I forgot who it was. But that dude was running wide open. They were playing cover zero and he just threw it over the dude's head. That's McNabb. That's basically McNabb. In a nutshell, and I can see Dwayne Haskins doing that same thing.
Okay.
Him just having a wide open throw and just missing it.
All right.
And but that's what I'm saying. Like if he gets in the right system, bro. Like he gets the right team.
Agreed.
Right system.
Agreed.
I think he would be a great John Gruden.
He can't start right away.
Like if he falls and the Raiders took him at 24, I don't think I'd be I think I'd be a little frustrated because we need edge rushers, but I'd be like, okay, I kind of get it because Gruden probably I've heard Gruden loves him and I can see why because he throws a great crosser, he throws a great quick out, he does, you know, Gruden loves him some quick outs,
if he can put it in the right spot,
he throws a good quick out, and I know Gruden's probably like, ooh, look at him hit those crossers. Because it's funny what Ryan Day used to do with that offense. I think it's funny. It's basically Ohio State used to go, okay, we have like four guys who run 4-3 in the outside, so we're just going to do mesh and run crossers and see if your linebackers, your slow Big Ten linebackers, can hang with these guys.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to run all over you that way.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was just a funny offense to watch. It's just like cross, mesh, cross, quick comeback, cross, screen, cross, mesh. Screen, you know, like just get the ball to playmakers and run all over run all over Big Ten. Basically, that's their game plan. Uh-huh. But I think Haskins should have stayed. I do think that though, but
I think it was the right move.
You think it was the right move?
Yeah, because of who they got coming in behind them.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's the right move.
I think he could have hung with Tua if he put another great year up. I think if he put two great years in a row, put some more starts in, I think the NFL would kind of okay. He's in it 2 years now. Yeah, another big season. The NFL would be like, okay.
Maybe.
And then Tua, of course, have another big season, and then they probably just go. Tua might go before him, but
sure.
They still. And there's also Justin Herbert out there. I always forget about Herbert, man. Herbert's just chilling.
Well, he's got to figure out what he's doing this year, so.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a senior.
Yep.
And he's probably going to go to the Senior Bowl. Yeah,
now or never.
We'll see how good a year he is. I think he didn't come out. Everybody talks about his brother, but I don't think he came out because his year wasn't as good as he wanted it to be.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't as good as he wanted. It could have been a lot better, and he probably it was just smart.
Yeah,
it's not dumb.
No,
it's not dumb.
No,
it's not dumb at all. But I still think the NFL would eventually would have became the number one guy in this draft. Eventually, just from T6'5", T25, can move. Gets a cannon. Mm-hmm. So they eventually just would have. Yeah.
Well, speaking of a guy who can move and has a cannon.
Number
one.
I'm going Kyler Murray. I've come around to on the Kyler train based on what I saw as a quarterback. A lot of the things that Kyler does wrong are mainly because he's short. And that's kind of an issue, too.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the things that he does wrong are mainly because he's short. But a lot of things with watching Kyler is like if you go in and you just listen to, like, you know, the pundits or everybody around you, and then you go watch him, you kind of become away a little shocked about how different he is than most technically dual-threat quarterbacks. Because I think in his brain – he doesn't see himself as a dual threat. I think he sees himself as Tom Brady. That's what I think that him and his dad think he is this quarterback who's going to surgically tear you up with his passing game. And I think that's what he wants to do. And I think that's what his dad is telling him. Like, just stay in the pocket. Tear these guys up. You're accurate. You know what you're doing, right? He knows what he's doing. And he's great pre-snap, man. Like, you cannot blitz him. I really think that. What I'm scared about for the NFL, right, if he comes in and the NFL is going to start playing him like Lamar, he's Lamar Jackson, because these guys just see the little short guy who runs around.
Sure.
And they're going to come up and, like, play press coverage and, like, do all these things, and he's going to just tear them up at first, passing the ball. And then what's going to happen is the second year, they're going to adjust to him passing, and I think that's when he's going to have to start reading more zone and stuff like that, which he struggles with. He struggles reading zone. He does. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But he does a lot of great things. He anticipates very, very well. He's accurate as all accurate. He puts the ball where he wants to put the football. And that's with under pressure, with people around him. It doesn't matter. He puts the football where he wants to put the football. Goes through reads. Never. He always goes to second or third reads before he runs. He's always going through his reads. Knows where everywhere to go. I think he really took the time to learn that offense. Lincoln Riley, his offense the first year he got to, and he got to sit out, learn offense, and then came in, he was ready to go. I was shocked that he doesn't like to run. He ran for 1,000 yards, but I think that was more out of desperation. And he doesn't get there if that Alabama game is close from the beginning. He doesn't get to 1,000 yards. He's just a 900-yard guy, but he ran for 100, I don't know how many yards. He think he ran for like 150 in that game or something like that. But he had to. So. And that got him over the he's 1,001. So like that game really, really put him over the hump for rushing, which you think would his what they say about him, it would be even he'd be running for 2,000 yards, which I still think he could have, which I'll get to in a second once I get to this dude's weaknesses. So but he has a lot of strengths. I think he's probably probably one of the best quarterback prospects if I had to rank him the past 3 years. If I went the past 3 years, Chris, I'm really high on this guy. I'm just telling you. If I went the past three prospects, so what we got? We got Mayfield, Mahomes, Rosen, all those guys. I'm gonna put him. I would go Mayfield, Mahomes, and then I'd go Murray. That's what I would do.
Wow.
The past three draft classes. That's what I would do. Seriously. Just based on his on field talent and play. He's an awesome quarterback prospect. A lot of other things go into Kyler Murray that I don't know about, and that's why I'm a little scared and skeptical. I think he has a what's the guy's name? He got a little Todd Marinovich in him. A little Todd Marinovich stuff going on in the background. Doesn't talk a lot. It's kind of weird. It's a little awkward. He lets his dad speak for him, everything. Kind of. There's a big SI report that came out today about his decision with baseball. It kind of all seems a little shady, what he did with the A's. Can't make a decision. Is he fully committed to football? What happens if he starts losing? And stuff like that. I mean, he was late to practice. He overslept. What kind of quarterback oversleeps? Ryan Mallett does. You know, that's what you know? And it's things like that that I don't know about with Kyler that makes me worry that he might not be the what I would take at number one. But talent-wise, yes. The guy, I don't know. I don't know, Chris. I don't know about the guy. It's just so weird. Like, everything's so closed off with him. It's like his dad is making sure that nobody's releasing information about him. It's really weird, dude. I don't know. Something strikes me weird about that whole situation. Just nobody saying anything bad about this guy. So that strikes me weird, but. Some on-play weaknesses I'll get to. Do you got some analysis on anything I'm saying so far, Chris?
I mean, I would have to agree with you with a lot of it. And then I'd also have to say that he's able to disguise some of his weaknesses.
Yeah.
Just with his general overall talent ability.
Yeah.
Like you and I had this conversation before about how he's not clean when he drops back.
Yeah, he's not.
He floats.
He drifts.
He drifts.
Floats, drifts.
Yeah. He's not straight back in his drops, but that's an advantage for him because as a defensive end, you can't say, I just got to get to this spot and he'll be there.
Yeah.
You can't put your head down and just.
So that's my thing. So, okay. So he drifts, right? He drifts a lot. Do you think by the time he gets to the second year and he keeps that tendency and he's still drifting, that they will get to that spot and know he's going to drift left and right on certain instances?
If it's something that is consistent in his tape, yeah. Yeah, and it's going to cause problems for him because there's a reason why you drop straight back.
And I'll tell you, it is consistent in his tape. So I'll tell you that right now. He drifts bad. Like
he's doing it to try and find passing windows. If they can get that habit out of him,
see that,
so that the passing windows are just the natural windows, and he's got to spend that time getting used to the natural windows, then I don't know if there's a problem with that. But at his first year, he's going to have success because of drifting one way or the other.
I agree with that. I do agree with that, what you're saying. It's just that's what I'm saying. My thing is, like, a team start noticing that he's drifting a lot, and, you know, they kind of play him a little different.
Sure.
Because I think the big thing with Kyler that I always think is funny, that how, you know, he's labeled as his running quarterback, and that dude doesn't want to run. I think that's the biggest thing with him.
Yeah.
He
seems to run because he has to, and he's got to make a play.
Yeah. And he's got to start making plays. Uh-huh. But if they're up, dude, like the UCLA game, I don't think he scrambled once.
No.
They're up the whole game. He's just chilling in the pocket.
Sure.
Baylor game, he ran a long quarterback draw. But he didn't scramble that whole game. He just killed them from the pocket. They're up. You know, he's not down. It's like the Texas game where he starts just going off. They're down 21 in the fourth quarter. He starts running all over the place, making plays, ran like a 77-yard touchdown. You know, he starts making plays when they have to. They're down 28-0 in Alabama. He runs for like 130 yards in that game because he's run all over the place. He's got to start making plays. Because there's a lot of times in that Alabama game, if he was – like, I'm going to run from the beginning, I think it's a totally different game that we're watching. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the pocket. And they were, like, kind of keeping him, condensing it and closing it slowly. And I think Nick Saban's smart enough to see that tendency that he really doesn't want to run.
Uh-huh.
And they were testing him, trying to see if he would run. And a lot of people aren't, like, you know, talking about that. They're like, okay, go ahead, run. Run, Kyler. Texas Tech did the same thing, too. They're like, go ahead, run, bro. And he's like, he's just...
It's going to be interesting to see if that translates to the NFL level.
Yeah.
Or because of just the speed of it, if he starts missing reads, is he going to start relying more on his legs because he knows he's capable?
I wonder.
So this whole quarterback class, there's too many red flags.
Yeah. See, because if Kyler was like a clean... I don't think there'd be a question, but he's not a clean... off the field intangibles quarterback, and that's the main problem. I think a lot of his other things he could adjust, his drifting or whatever, him struggling with zone coverage or reading things post snap sometimes. He struggles with that, or refusing to run and then making a stupid decision because he doesn't want to run. So he just sits in the pocket and just throws it up for somebody to grab because he doesn't want to run. I think a lot of those things could be adjusted or, you know, fixed, but the intangibles thing, that's not gonna be fixed. We don't know.
There's too many uncertainties. And I'll say it again. Josh Allen's the number one quarterback in this draft class.
I don't know.
You can laugh about it. And I could not go there. If you're going to say out of the last three draft classes that Murray's number three, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. He's not even in the top three of last year's draft class.
Honestly, I don't agree with that, man. I take him over Darnold. I think he's a cleaner prospect. On the field. So that's the thing. Like, yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier, who I would take. I'm taking Haskins over Murray all day.
Yeah.
I would definitely
I mean,
because you take – I really feel like you're taking a big chance taking Kyler Murray.
I completely
agree.
He's
so unknown.
I completely agree. And I keep saying he's going to go one because that's the wrong decision to make.
Yeah.
But I really feel that the Cardinals organization is going to make a mistake with drafting Kyler number one.
And I think that's why he came out. I think that's already been like a known thing with him, that he has a chance to go one, because I feel like, let's say he doesn't go one. Where does he go? Who knows, man, right? Like,
I mean,
who takes him?
Six. He goes to the Giants.
Did the Giants take him?
Yeah. They put him behind Eli for a year?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know if Gettleman takes a short quarterback. I think the NFL since that's what I'm saying. He doesn't have good intangibles, really. Everybody questions the intangibles, and he's short. I don't think that's a good combination.
I can't believe he passed up on $14 million guaranteed from the A's.
What?
to get like a 4-year deal with
and a for sure starting spot right. on the baseball team.
Yeah. In a game that you're not gonna get your head bashed in.
And you're a power hitter. Right. Like if you hit 30 home runs for the next 4 or 5 seasons, you're getting paid. I mean, even you bat two,
you're getting more than one contract.
Even if you bat 250.
Look yeah, at Chris well, Davis. Shoot. Yeah, 247 for last 6 seasons, but 40 home runs. Pay.
You know, like. So, yeah, Kyler, he's just weird, bro. Like, I don't know. Like, just hearing about his interviews, and this is not from Charlie Cashley, which I think he needs an apology, because, you know, the SI writer basically said the same thing, that his interviews are weird. They're like basically like he was. So what are you? Committed to football. He's like, oh, you know, no, man, you know, I'm playing football right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's weird. Like, does he go back to baseball? Let's just say, like, they have two bad seasons. They love Kingsbury, and then his dad doesn't.
Right.
His dad doesn't like the way, you know, Kingsbury's using it. I don't like it. I don't like the way his Cliff's using him. Or, yeah. You know, he's on the radio talking crap like it's LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, he's doing his signs that he was doing for Pop Warner.
Sure.
From the stance. Change of plays. We're going to run our own air raid here, Kyler. You know? So, I don't know, man. It's just weird.
I really hope the Cardinals go Quentin.
I think they go Bosa. They go Bosa.
Well, why? I think they've locked in with pass rushers. Didn't they sign? They signed Suggs, and didn't they get another free agent?
Yeah, but Bosa is. He's not my best.
He's got Chandler Jones on the other side.
Yeah, but
you show up the middle.
I think they really like Bosa. I think their visit with Bosa is what is changing their mind on Kyler a little bit. I think Steve Kime really wants Bosa, and I think Cliff wants Murray, and that's the head button. And I think, and that's why I don't think Murray's gonna go one at this point. I think Kime.
I still think
he's gonna Kime and Terry McDonough.
I'm
gonna make that decision.
I'm sticking with it. Okay. I'm sticking with my prediction. Rosen's in New York. And Murray's in Arizona.
That's what I think. I think that Kime is coming back, and he's like, I want Bosa, and we're going to take Bosa. I'm sorry, Cliff. And the tumble of Kyler Murray is going to be epic on draft day.
Well,
not
only that, that's going to
he's going to tumble, dog.
That's going to ruin Rosen's NFL career. If he stays here and runs the air raid, it's going to ruin his career.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think he might do good in the air raid.
I don't.
I think he might do good. Because if I give credit to Cliff, he does adjust around his quarterback. So if he doesn't get him, he's going to design it so he gets rid of the ball quick, gives him quick reads, gave him quick, easy reads, and so he doesn't kind of stay there and try to do stuff from the pocket. I will give Cliff that. I think Cliff's going to be over his head with, like, calling timeouts when he needs to call timeouts and challenges
if I'm
like that. But, like, offensively, he'll be all right.
If I'm the Cardinals, I'm taking Williams at one. And the first pick of the second round, N'Keal Harry. That way you got Harry, Fitzgerald, and Kirk. You should be running 3 wide receivers with a single back of Johnson in the backfield. And then Rosen's got all the support he needs.
I don't think Harry gets past the Colts, 26.
Everybody loves both of the Ole Miss receivers and the kid from Oklahoma. Everybody loves those 3 guys before they love
Harry. I bet Mark, Harry. If I could guess, because Marquise Brown has the list Frank, so he'll go second round.
You think
he's gonna go second round?
Wow!
Because he's Liz Frank, so he'll fall. He's 166. Liz Frank, he'll fall a little bit, right? Even though I think he's a really good receiver, but he'll fall. I think it's either Harry's gonna get picked first because he has the production.
Uh-huh.
He's done it for like 3 years.
Yeah, I mean Harry's my number
one. He marked the boxes. He marked Harry's all the boxes for his combine.
Yep.
I think that he has a chance to be the first receiver taken. It probably will be Metcalf. I think Metcalf was just an athletic freak.
Show, yeah.
And people can't get past people being athletic freaks.
Sure. Nope, they can't.
So I think he still has a chance to go top 10, which I think is crazy because he never dominated college football, and he ran a 4.3. It was 230 pounds. I've never seen another player who's that big, that fast, and didn't dominate college football. I mean, Julio Jones dominated college football.
Yep.
Calvin Johnson did.
Uh-huh.
Who else was that fast? I mean, even Josh Gordon dominated college football, even though he went to 5 schools.
You think that would have been the outlier? Like,
Still dominated. Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody who didn't
dominate in college.
Like A.J. Brown was better than him in college.
I think everybody wants to compare him to Odell.
There's no way, man.
Because Odell didn't have necessarily the biggest numbers in college.
They were good enough. He just had a couple 800-yard seasons, though. It wasn't the best, but he was Jarvis Landry, and Jarvis Landry would get like 1,000. He would get 800.
Yeah.
And they had Zapp Bettenberger, so.
Yeah. True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
So, all right, guys. We're at 1 hour and 5 minutes now. We went a little long today.
Gave you some content today.
Gave you plenty of content. Got your top five quarterbacks.
We're here, man. It's draft. It's time for the draft.
I still think Daniel Jones and Locke might go before Haskins, which is going to be crazy. I can't wait to be on Twitter when Jones goes top 10. I can't wait when he goes to Giants at 6.
That'll drive me nuts. If Jones, that'll drive me insane.
Might happen,
again,
Chris.
Again, I don't want to see a quarterback go before 15. I don't. I know it's going to happen, but there's no reason for a quarterback to go before 15. That's just me. It's not going to happen. That's just me.
We'll see.
There are 14 defensive players on the defensive line that are better.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree. This edge rush class is nuts. And,
there's tight ends that are better.
Defensive line class. Tight end class. The top three tight ends are all first round.
Yeah.
Wide receiver class is all right. So, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not great. Good. There's a lot of good players.
Top heavy.
Running back is...
it's been that way for...
Yeah. I mean, Josh Jacobs is okay. I love the tackle class. I would take a bunch of tackles before I took quarterback, too.
Yeah.
So. All right, guys. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes. Download on Spotify. Check us out. We'll be back after the draft. We're going to never talk about where these quarterbacks
went.
We'll
break it down.
We'll give you the full breakdowns.
If it was a good pick or a bad pick,
we'll
probably
see.
Going to say a lot of bad picks.
And hopefully Daniel Jones doesn't go 6. We're out.